This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at in the U.S. or around the world. Thanks for joining us on Baseball Outside the Box. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. We are ready to rock and roll with this show. And let me tell you, before we start, let's go with, please do us a favor, go to YouTube, Peter Caliendo. We're live there, but you can subscribe and get free updates. It really helps us out. I appreciate it. Second, don't forget also the podcast, Baseball Outside the Box. That's the audio part, baseballoutsidethebox.com. Go there, subscribe. And I want to thank our audience. We're over 100 countries. And I want to welcome ESPN Honolulu. I got to always practice that. Honolulu. Thanks for joining us on ESPN there. We really appreciate it. And we are thrilled. So again, remember, without the audience, you guys are fantastic. You've helped us really get the show up. Please do all the time. It's for all levels, youth, high school, college, professional coaches, players, and parents. There's always great stuff to learn. And today, it's probably one of the most important topics. And I know I've said that a few times, but there are, you know, some important topics. There's the mental game, obviously, you know, there's practice organizations, a bunch of others, but by far one of them is nutrition, because nutrition affects everything we talk about, whether it be vision, mental health, all that stuff. And nutrition is close to my heart. And the topic today, fueling the young athlete, how to solve the complex puzzle. And it's about making sure that if you are healthy, you can produce on the field and you can recover faster. And we've got one of the best experts in the world. And sorry, folks, another Italian. Yes, because you're going to tell me anyways in emails. Tavis Piattoli. Tavis is awesome, man. He specializes in sports fitness, wellness, nutrition. 15 years on customized nutritional programs. Listen, he's worked with professional athletes, Olympians, high school, all levels. He's going to talk about his app and Eat to Win. But we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. So let me just rock and roll, because we don't want to waste any time. We want to get you all the best information. This guy's one of the best in the business. So let's welcome Tavis, man. How you doing?
Peter, it's an honor to be back, and it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And you reminded me, I got to say, You're a returnee. I don't get too many returnees, but you're popular. Two, it's an important topic. And I need to mention that you were on a couple years ago. Probably should have you on more often, because we got to keep reminding people health is number one for sports. But before we start, it's also number one with the year that we've had, and that is the pandemic, a nutrition, exercise, whether it be drinking water, all the vitamins. I mean, I am religious at this. That doesn't mean, you know, if I get COVID, I can't have serious problems, but it helps with obviously reducing the risk factor. It's a number one. And Tavis, I read, and I'm going to have you tell the folks about this, what the best thing to do with this when it comes to the pandemic, with the virus, when it comes to the health. But I read that, you know, unfortunately, it's a sad statistics. I want to help people. And I know it's hard. It's not easy. I lost 20 pounds in the last year. Did I really need to? Not really. But I lost 20 pounds. I'm back in my high school weight. I feel great. I feel a lot better. And I did it by going slow, eating properly, exercising all the time, drinking water, taking vitamins, all those things that I think are important. But I want you to tell the folks, let's start with that. I think it'd be a great thing to kick it off.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to just, you know, COVID in general, there's a lot of things that we can do to protect our immune system and, like you said, mitigate the virus. You know, we probably can't prevent it. There's some studies that say, hey, look, if vitamin D is one of those things that are extremely important, this is a virus that attacks the lungs. It's also, we're seeing some studies from some of the physicians that look at this also can cause some problems with cardiovascular issues later in life. So when we look at what can we do to protect the lungs and the respiratory system, vitamin D has tons of data to prove that. And it's not like a cure, but we've seen vitamin D therapy for upper respiratory tract infection. We have seen studies come out, especially with Dr. Michael Hollick, who studied vitamin D, that mentioned if you have normal levels of vitamin D, 40 and higher, your chances of going to the ICU, it's like 97% less than others that have a low vitamin D level. And we look at why did the U.S. struggle so much with COVID. We're a sick country. We're not a healthy country. We don't have health care here. We have sick care. So we don't really do much to prevent disease. We wait until we get sick and then we take a lot of medicine. And unfortunately, you know, obesity is a big condition when it comes to comorbidities of why so many people died here. You know, 70% of our country is overweight or obese. So we're going to struggle a lot more than most other countries.
Yeah, and I noticed the other stat I saw from the CDC, I believe, and I may be off by a percentage or two, but 78% of the people who were in the ICUs, unfortunately, sadly, were obese. And I know people don't want to hear that because, you know, some people, obviously, it could be a biological issue, you know, internal issue. Others, it's because we've got some bad habits. Whatever it may be, we need to help people as best we can. So, just a recommendation, then I'll get into the athlete aspect of it. A recommendation for people out there that are want to lose weight. I've got friends and relatives that are in this boat that want to do this. What's your recommendation on how to do it? Because we have all this, you know, all these, I don't know if they're gimmicks, but all this stuff out there. In some ways, they could be gimmicks, but also they're making a lot of money off people when it's really, in some ways, it is a simple, it isn't really a complex issue. It's a matter of obtaining some discipline or some, you know, good habits.
You mentioned the key word habits. Now, you know, solving that puzzle with overweight individuals to help them improve their eating habits, it takes time. So you have to have a lot of patience around this. You know, when we look at weight loss, most people are very impatient. They've tried so many things. And we have to get out of the mindset of diet. You know, you're not going on one. You're always on one. You've been on one since you were born. Everything you eat is your diet. And I can honestly say there's not a single product out there that's going to help with weight loss. There's no weight loss pill that's safe. There's no weight loss product that's going to miraculously help with weight loss that's going to be sustainable. Same thing with any type of diet that has a label. People want to label keto or they lost, you know, I lost a lot of weight on this. We can lose a lot of weight on any approach if you put yourself in a calorie deficit. The research shows that it's all pretty equal with how much someone loses weight after a year, whether it's low carb, low fat, keto, intermittent fasting. There's no difference in outcomes. What we have to figure out for that individual who wants to lose weight, as you mentioned, what habits are preventing you from losing weight? Number one, is it you're not eating high quality foods? Can you replace maybe less quality foods with more fruits and vegetables? Can you increase your protein intake and reduce maybe your carbohydrate intake a little bit if you're not exercising a lot? So are you eating too fast? Research shows if you eat a meal in 10 minutes or less, you're probably consuming about an extra 300 calories a day. Wow. Are you drinking your calories? Do you have anything in your fluid intake? So outside of water. So if you're trying to lose weight, you really shouldn't be drinking any juice or sodas or any. That's just empty calories that's adding up. So there's a lot of things we would target, but I always tell somebody, start with one habit, one thing at a time, and make this a long-term journey. It's like building a dream home. When you build a dream home, it takes 6 months, 9 months, a year. And all the habits are things like laying the bricks, the electricity, you know, the plumbing. And there's going to be times where it just doesn't work out and you got to keep plugging through and fighting through those challenges.
Absolutely. You know, and you just hit on one that my bad habit is I eat too fast. You know, so I've got to slow down and so I'm going to take my time doing it. No doubt about it. We've all created bad habits and we just have to work at it. Hey, I got folks on Facebook. If you got any questions for Tavis, ask them. This is a great topic. And I see my great friend here, Chip Carey, the voice of the Braves. You know, Chip's got to be, he's getting ready for spring training or the season starting tomorrow. I love listening to him. He's awesome.
Hey, I grew up listening to his dad, Harry. I've been a Cubs fan since 83. So growing up in New Orleans, we had two options. We had the Cubs or the Braves. And when I was 7 years old and I turned on WGN and I heard Harry, I was like, this is fantastic. Yeah. And that's why I'm a Cubs fan today.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm not sure in today's era, Harry would be able to announce anymore. You know, we're a little bit too politically correct nowadays. So I'm not sure it's going to work, but you're right. Especially when we had him and Pearsall, man, they were really going at it. It was a lot of fun being a Chicago kid. Hey, Tavis, now we're talking about nutrition, and it seems to be, you know, that you call it a puzzle, a missing link. This is the missing link for what?
This is the missing link to performance, because if you look at performance, It's really a conundrum of a lot of things, right? Strength and conditioning, rest, sleep, genetics, equipment. There's so many things that will increase an athlete's performance, but there's a reason why professional teams, collegiate teams are investing millions of dollars in feeding their athletes, because they realized, wait a minute, we have strength coaches, we have athletic trainers, we have all these sports medicine professionals, but we don't have anyone putting fuel in the tank of these athletes, or helping them understand how to put the correct type of fuel in the tank. Because you can train all day, you know, you can sleep all day, and that's great. But if you're putting the wrong type of gasoline in your car, it's not going to run well, or it's not going to last very long. And instead of taking it to the mechanic, your body's going to go to the doctor. And this is why your top athletes of the world who play 15, 20, the Drew Breeses, the LeBron Jameses of the world, the athletes that, you know, have really put in 20 years, they invest millions of dollars in their body. And that's why they're putting nutrition at the forefront, because once that's good, everything else falls into place underneath.
You know, I want you to talk to parents and coaches, because we talk about this all the time on the show with anything. All these habits, they got to be created when they're young kids. You know, we can't wait till they're in high school and college and all that. And all of a sudden you're starting to break these habits. So talk about, you know, with the young kids, and I know we're talking baseball, but it really is all sports. When you have young kids that are 8 years old, 9 years old, they're playing games, you know, on a weekend or during the week. Some of the things, well, first of all, let's talk about the habits that these kids should have at home, the eating habits and how to get them to eat healthy. Because, you know, one of the things that comes up is, well, spinach, I don't like spinach, or, you know, I don't like this, or, you know, because I was a kid, right? Nobody went, but my parents were great, because I ate liver since I was a young kid. I ate spinach since I was as young as I can think of. So they got me on that way early on. So talk about that.
Yeah, I have my daughter just turned 10 years old last week, and, you know, she eats just about every vegetable except for mushrooms. And I don't like mushrooms. So that's like, you know, we try to make sure she's been getting a wide variety of foods at a young age. Some things she's just not going to eat, and that's okay. But as parents, we set that example. So if mom and dad don't eat vegetables, there's a really good chance they're not cooking vegetables in the house. So that child will not be exposed to vegetables or fruits or whatever that is. So we have to lay the groundwork at home. The foundation of anything in life for children is taught in the house. So, you know, behavior, habit, any type of habit, whether it's food related or anything else, is going to really mimic pretty much what happens at home, unless they develop something at school. So we try to set that groundwork here in our house. That's why I recommend parents try to invest in your own diet and your own health, and making sure you're taking care of yourself. Because if you're not taking care of yourself, you can't expect your children to take good care of themselves as well.
Let's talk about that. Let's go right to the heart of the issue. And that is, you know, what am I going to eat when I'm 8 years old, 9 years old? I mean, whether it's sports or not, I mean, you know, what's my breakfast? What's my lunch? What's my dinner? And then we'll get into, because, you know, I'm hearing different things out there all the time. I'm sure the folks get a little confused by it too. I mean, you know, I'm hearing eat small meals, but a lot of them. And then all of a sudden I'm hearing eat only two meals a day. And some people are eating one meal a day and waiting 12 hours before they eat. So I know it's a large topic, but let's talk about at least the meal aspect, what to start with.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when we're looking at young athletes that are developing and their body's growing, that's a different animal than the adult that sits all day and, you know, behind a desk. Two different types of people. You know, a young developing person, we should not be fasting. We should not be skipping meals very long throughout the day. There's really no ideal number of meals we should be eating. It's more about developing the foundation. And keep in mind, you can't have a perfect diet. There's no perfect way to eat. You don't have to eat exactly the same number of calories every day, because you can't. Some days you need to eat more than others because you're doing more work. So we start with the foundation of just good, nutritious foods. You know, and I like to label them based on the purpose. What's the purpose of food, right? Carbohydrates, all the misinformation you hear, carbs are bad, carbs make you gain weight. And that's completely false. And the reason why that's false is because if you look at the Okinawan population, 87% of their calories come from carbohydrate. They don't have a weight issue. And they also have the most centurions, people that live over 100 years of age, centenarians. People that live at over 100 per capita.
Okinawa, so, Japan?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I bet. I've been there many times, all over Japan.
So it's more about fruits and vegetables, right? It sounds so elementary to say, eat more fruits and vegetables. Like, you know, when I'm presenting a slide deck, we talk about that. Because with my major league players, whoever I'm working with, we talk about how that reduces inflammation. Those foods have the most vitamins and minerals to help maybe reduce muscle soreness. Cherry juice is going to probably be in every major league clubhouse right now. You know, with my major league pitchers that I've worked with, we do a lot of things to combat shoulder and elbow inflammation. Cherry juice is a staple. Omega-3 is a staple. Curcumin is a staple. So fruits and vegetables is always a good foundation to have balance. Obviously, whole grain, high quality carbohydrates, that's going to provide fuel. I had an athlete that tried to go keto once, a professional pitcher, and his pitching velocity went from 94 to 89. Now, you look at a fastball in the major leagues, 94 is great. I mean, it's good. But if he goes to 89, it's going to look like a softball to most of these guys.
Hey, keto is no carbs, right?
20 grams, 30 grams of carbs a day. And that doesn't make any sense for an athlete doing high power anaerobic work. Your power, every study shows your power will go down.
Athletes, coaches, did you hear what you just said? Because, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I want to emphasize this, because what you just said is basically, if you can eat well, you can actually increase your velocity. Because, you know, the big deal right now is throwing weighted balls and doing all kinds of stuff, you know, to try to, you know, get stronger and this and that. And I get all that. But here's a way to not only get healthy, but also help you possibly throw even harder because of the things you're eating. That's incredible.
Yeah, I was working with a kid out of Texas. He was 6'6", 170 pounds when we started. Tall, skinny high school kid. In a year and a half, we added 65 pounds of lean muscle. His body fat stayed the same. He went from 6'6", 170 to 235. His fastball went from 83 to 97.
Wow.
He went to play at Vanderbilt. He got hurt. He got sick, but he only pitched one inning at Vanderbilt. And now he got drafted, I think, in the fifth round last year or the year before, because he's a tall left-hander who throws extremely fast. So we can add velocity to someone's frame if we add quality muscle. Obviously, that's just one piece of the puzzle, though. I'm not going to say, hey, for every pound, your fastball is going to go up this. We don't have that kind of data yet. But when you combine that with a good strength program, we can change performance pretty well.
Wow, I love it. I want to stay with the young kids a little bit. Okay, so now I'm looking at, because one of the hardest things to do is to look at the products that you're buying, you know, and decide, you know, how many carbs there are. What am I looking for in the listing there where it gives you the grams and the calories, just some guidelines so I have an idea what I'm doing. Because I'm sure you're going to mention this. In my opinion, one of the killers and the thing that I've reduced, which is hard to reduce anyways, is sugar, right?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, there's really no guidelines to say, look for these numbers in those charts on those nutrition facts, because it really depends on what you're going to eat. I tell people to look more at the ingredients than anything else, because the less ingredients it has or the least amount of ingredients, the more natural that product's going to be. So let's say, you know, I don't believe in labeling foods good or bad as well. So it's like, let's not demonize things and say, this is bad for you. You can never eat this. There's got to be balance. I know kids are going to eat fast food. I know kids are going to eat Pop-Tarts every once in a while or sugary cereals, and that's fine. All that stuff can fit in a balanced diet. 85-15 rule or 90-10, good quality 85-90% of the time, have what you want the other 10-15% of the time. But at the same time, yeah, we do need to cut back and scale back on those processed foods. So for example, we look at potato chips, right? I like some of these avocado oil chips because they're cooked in potatoes, avocado oil, and sea salt. That's it, three ingredients. But if you look at the back of a lot of potato chips, there's probably 30 or 40 ingredients in there because there's a lot of dyes, there's a lot of chemicals, there's a lot of ingredients that we just can't even pronounce by the name. So if you look at the back of an ingredient list and you can't pronounce it, it's probably not something you want to eat on a regular basis. That's why it's good to stay on the outside of the grocery as much as possible. Whereas on the inside, if you need to get some canned vegetables, that's fine. Pasta, you know, whole grain bread, those are the best things to have, and have some treats every once in a while, balance that into the diet. But I don't recommend young individuals go try to figure those numbers out, because that gets way too complicated when we can just really focus on habits and meal timing, bringing food to school, you know, eating between meals, post-workout. There's a lot of other things that we can focus on, because it gets way too complicated if we try to have them count things.
Yeah, it makes sense. And also, I love that 85-15 rule because you got to give a, you know, you got to tease a little bit. You got to have some fun and eat some stuff that, you know, tastes good, but may not be great for you, but it's only 15%. So it's not going to hinder you. So, okay, here we are. I've got a game that I'm going to play. You know, most kids go to school, right? So you, all of a sudden you're in the morning. Let's talk about something good that you could eat in the morning for school to help you with schoolwork. And then also you come home. And you're going to have a little bit of time at home, but then you got to go to a game. And what do I eat before the game? Let's get into those two a little bit.
Yeah, it's a great question. So a couple of things. We don't just eat for that performance later in the day. We got to eat for that mind focus. Because keep in mind, you're in school all day. So your mental energy is drained. You're learning for 5, 6, 7 hours. Now you have to go practice. One of the biggest mistakes I see at the high school level, 40% of those kids don't eat breakfast. And that's going to be a problem. If you're not eating breakfast, at least a good balanced breakfast, your muscle mass is probably dropping slowly, you know, over the course of months. You're slowly burning muscle for energy unless you're not, you know, eating later in the day. But you're also not having that mental energy that you need to get through the day. So I know sometimes the biggest excuse of why kids don't eat breakfast, they don't have time. And when in reality, they just want to sleep later. And I get that, right? They want to get that extra 5 minutes. But skipping that meal is putting them in a big calorie deficit leading to later in the day. So their power, their strength, their agility is probably going to be compromised by skipping some of those meals. How do we overcome that? Well, we either have to solve that problem by doing a little bit of meal prep the night before, even if that means, hey, make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, put it on the counter, and then grab a glass of milk or one of these ready to, I mean, there's a lot of ready to drink, you know, protein smoothies. We can get a Core Power or a Fairlife or a Gatorade drink and just shake it up, drink that with a peanut butter and jelly out the door. If you have more time, then, you know, we want some good quality protein. Have some eggs, have some fruit, some whole grain bread. A lot of times, you know, if we're running a little late, I make a smoothie for my daughter. I take a little protein powder, milk, frozen banana. I'll put some sun butter. She's allergic to peanuts, so we do the sunflower seed butter. I'll throw a handful of spinach in there, and we're out the door, and it doesn't take a lot of time to do that. So it just depends on how invested are you in getting better at eating better. It doesn't take that much time. You don't have to cook eggs and bacon and pancakes and all this stuff. And then the rest of the day, if you have a game, let's say 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the evening after school, you want to make sure you're eating at least every 3 to 4 hours. So if breakfast is at 6:30, I would have a snack somewhere around 9 or 10. If school lunch is 12, that's great. And have something really light before that game. Maybe that's a nutrition bar. Maybe that's a banana with peanut butter. Maybe that's a half a sandwich, just something to get you through. In some cases, I have athletes eating during games, depending on how long they're going to be away from their last meal. So it really just depends on the time of day and what that athlete can tolerate.
Hey, folks, so you know, we're talking about nutrition. Think about this. Tavis has designed programs. Talk about pain and punishment and recovery. We're not going to get the recovery yet, but he's designed programs for the great boxers, Bernard Hopkins, Roy Jones Jr. I mean, you're talking about the top level athletes in the world here. Tavis, one area that kind of upsets me all the time, and that is, you know, the schools, because, you know, we've taken exercise out of the schools and, you know, our nutrition, we're starting to get back in some schools some decent nutrition, but, you know, they always had bad nutrition. I know when I went to school, it wasn't very good. I mean, you know, they got to change this because, again, these kids are in school. If they eat that stuff, well, now they got to go out and play a ball game too afterwards or whatever, a sport. How am I going to, you know, I'm not going to be able to produce it to the highest level. We're not only talking about body-wise producing, but we're talking about mental, right?
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, because if you look at baseball or any sport, I mean, there's a lot of sports that are mental. I mean, I work with some professional golfers, and if you take them out of the mental part of their game, I mean, their performance is going to drop. They can hit the ball 10,000 yards or 300, whatever that is. But if their mental energy is off, that could really drastically affect a lot of things. Baseball, hand-eye coordination can be impacted. Velocity could be impacted. So, but we also know a lot of young kids today, some of them might come from families where they rely on the school nutrition program to eat. Yes. So they're, you know, in some cases, you know, my wife's a teacher and she says, look, there's kids in my school, lunch is their only meal of the day. How do we help them, you know, fuel their body a little better? Because they might not have the resources. And there are ways to buy foods that are very nutritious that are inexpensive. I mean, I go back to things like eggs, peanut butter, and jelly. It doesn't have to be organic. It could be store-based. Walmart brands have a lot of great nutrition products that are less than a dollar per unit in the frozen vegetable aisle. So there's things that we can build a good nutrition plan. One of my slide decks, I like to show, what does $20 get you at Walmart versus McDonald's? You get like 110 servings at Walmart and you get 8 or 10 servings at McDonald's.
That's great. That's awesome to know, because I think a lot of people don't really understand that.
Right. Yeah. And it's like anything. If you're eating out 3, 4, 5 times a week, if you save that money and said, all right, I'm gonna do it twice, what does that other money get you from a Sam's or a Costco? It probably gets you a lot. I can get a lot of food at Sam's for $100.
Absolutely. Now, here's a $1 million question, and there's a lot of them in here, a lot of nuggets that we got to talk about. You know, all of a sudden, you hear it in hockey. I remember watching hockey, talking to some hockey players. They ate a lot of carbs before the game, right? So what's your recommendation for baseball players? What should they be eating before a ball game, and how early or how late?
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on the time of the game. So you look at a standard Friday game, or if I look at major league guys, it's 7 o'clock at night, right? Or 6 o'clock, depending on location. For high school kids, it's, if they're playing weekend tournaments, that's a whole different conversation on
Let's say after school to start with, because it reaches a lot of the youth programs, and then we could talk about high school also.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, if we look at the after school, let's say you have a game, let's say 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So make sure you get a good balanced breakfast, a good lunch. If you have a big gap between breakfast and lunch, let's say breakfast is at 6:30, lunch is at 12, get a snack in between. And then if your game's at 4 or 5, then we want something really light right when you get out of school. What does that mean? It could be a half a sandwich. It could be a nutrition bar. It could be pretzels and beef jerky just to get some sodium in there if you're going to sweat a lot. There's a lot of things. It could be fruit. Like, I'm a big fan of things like peanut butter and banana sandwich. I think that's just a good carbs, a little bit of fat, and a little bit of protein, because you want more carbs than anything else. Protein's not a good energy source. So loading up on a lot of protein is probably the worst thing you can do. And loading up on a lot of high fat, like, you know, especially fast food, would be the worst thing you can do before a game, because it's going to sit in your gut and take a long time to digest. So we kind of want more faster digesting options like carbohydrates, because that's what's going to fuel your performance during that game.
You know, a good point you brought up, because a lot of this also relates to the high schools, because they'll probably play as early, you know, as soon as they get out of school, they go probably start at 5:30, 6 o'clock. But what about the weekends when you have, you know, 2, 3 games? Because sometimes you have 2, 3 games, something 2 games in a day. I've seen 3 in a day, which is crazy sometimes. How do you handle that part?
Yeah, there's no like magic formula for that. And you just have to look at the athlete and see what works. We have to cover hydration and make sure they're drinking enough fluids throughout the day. But we also need to bring food with you. Prepare. Do not rely on, you know, food at the ballpark, because we know that's going to be high fat, processed. There's not going to be a lot of balanced options. So bring trail mix, bring nutrition bars, bring fruit, bring sandwiches. You know, bring your sports drinks and hydration beverages. That way you can have things between. I have athletes sometimes they'll eat half a bar, like let's say maybe halfway through their first game. They're starting to feel like, all right, breakfast might be wearing off. I need a quick boost. Sometimes we'll have a little bar. They might take a few bites of a sandwich, and that's fine. Baseball is a sport where it's not like soccer or basketball where it's constant movement and you're burning an enormous amount of energy. But if you're still out in the heat and you're sweating, that's still going to create fatigue. We have to hydrate, and we have to replace some of those calories at some point.
You know, the other part of this, that's another great point you brought up, is not only are we talking about different sports, but also talking about different positions. Because, you know, a pitcher is going to work a lot harder. A catcher is going to work a lot harder. But my question would be, during the game, for all the athletes in a baseball game, there's got to be something that they probably eat during the game, you know, not a lot, but to maintain, I guess, that, energy.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. Like in working with some athletes, let's say a closer might come in, and I look at a guy like Mark Melancon, right? I've worked with him for a little bit. I haven't talked to Mark in a little while, but we talked about strategy before. When he comes in, he's not pitching until maybe 9:30 at night. You know, you look at pregame meal, it's 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Because they get on the field and start doing their warmups, their tosses, their, you know, just dynamic movement. Game starts at 7. They're sitting around for 2.5 hours. And then it's like, wait a minute, it's almost 10 o'clock at night and I got to get revved up to come in when they've been up all day. So yeah, I mean, we go back to carbohydrate sources. You know, those are things that are going to be really important. And we just got to figure out there's no magic food. You know, the question I get all the time, what's the best thing I can eat before? There's really no best. We got to figure out what works for that individual. I've had some athletes like have probably defy everything nutrition is, and they might be eating, they might be getting a handful of Skittles to go run out on the field because it gives a really fast boost of energy because it's fast sugar. Do I recommend that? No, but if a guy hits 3 home runs or 2 home runs that day because he says, I feel like the Skittles worked, then we're going to keep trying that because that worked for him, or whatever that food is. So Kevin Gausman, I didn't work with him, but he used to eat a donut between every inning at LSU when he pitched. And I think he still does that from a superstition. So again, I'm not recommending people do those kind of things, but we still stick to the quality nutrition because that's what's going to work in the end.
That's right. You're an LSU grad, right? Your master's in science and kinesiology, bachelor's in nutrition, pediatrics, I believe. Did you play there?
No, I played high school football and baseball, but I was not big enough to play high school football in college. I'm only like 5'11 and a half. I was an offensive lineman in high school. You got to be like 6'5 to be an offensive lineman in college.
But what a great place to go, man. What about, you know, you hear this a lot because you mentioned sports drinks. In some ways, you got to be careful with sports drinks, man, because they have a lot of sugar in it. And I know I keep mentioning sugar, but talk about that, how, you know, what to look for and what you can do so you don't have as much sugar in that sports drink.
Yeah, no, I mean, sports drinks, they have a place, right? They're designed for athletic performance. And they were formulated to help you replace carbohydrate in a liquid format because maybe eating is not something someone wants to do. You know, you look at certain athletes, whether it's baseball players, football players, whether it's a triathlete doing an event for a long period of time, we need to put fluid back in the system. We need sodium, we need potassium, we need electrolytes to help our muscle contraction, maybe reduce our risk for cramping. So there's a place for sports drinks. If you're sitting around the house watching TV, we don't want to drink sports drinks, especially the ones that are 100, 150 calories per, you know, per drink. Then they now have 0 calorie options for someone who wants maybe water with flavor. And that's what those things are for. So for some athletes that are maybe overweight, I'll probably have them do some lower calorie options. For those athletes that may be trying to gain weight, then we're drinking calories during an event. We're not just drinking water, because we have to get those electrolytes back in addition to the fluid they're losing.
What's some of the myths? I think you mentioned a few. What's some myths about nutrition that we think, you know, we hear all the time that we believe maybe and when really aren't true?
Yeah, I mean, a couple that you don't have to eat every 3 hours. That's a myth, that a lot of people say, oh, you have to eat. No, that's been in the bodybuilding community for a long time. I mean, it really, there's no magic number of meals. So that's one myth. Number two, in the young athlete market, they think they have to eat a lot of protein to get bigger. And that's false. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, protein is important for muscle recovery, for muscle growth, but anything more than 1 gram per pound is useless. Your body will not utilize that. And that's according to a lot of data that's been published in that area. Now, if we look at young athletes, again, you know, they think they need supplements to solve a problem. And there's really no supplement that's going to acutely change performance. Creatine's very effective. We might talk about that later. But at the same time, you know, if you're trying to gain weight and build muscle, 99% of that is going to be what you're eating and how you're eating. It's never going to be about what you're taking. I can promise you that. I've been, you know, as you mentioned, I've been in this industry 20 years now, working at every level. I've never seen a legal supplement work very fast on an individual.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I missed that by 5 years. I apologize. I said 15.
I've aged since the last time we spoke.
That's right. I'm glad you brought up the supplements because I had that written down as we were talking. And I'm thinking, instead of supplements, what about vitamins?
Yeah, there's certain things that I'm a big believer of. I mean, especially individuals that are not eating fruits and vegetables, we get them on a good multivitamin. That's just something that now you're like, well, what's a good multivitamin? I don't sell supplements. I don't endorse any specific like one brand. There's a couple of companies that I think do a phenomenal job when it comes to formulating and creating vitamins because of the ingredients they use. Number one, when we're using any type of supplement, especially an athlete, we want to make sure it's third-party certified. So NSF for sport, major league players, they can only bring in NSF certified for sport products into their clubhouse. That's in their collective bargaining agreement. That ensures that someone has paid NSF, a third-party testing company and lab, to evaluate the safety of those products for banned substances. Because some athletes might walk into a supplement store, buy a product off the shelf. Maybe it might contain steroids. It might contain a banned stimulant. So there's a lot of different things we have to be careful with. But every athlete I work with, I always start them with a multivitamin and a fish oil, especially if they're not eating well. Number one, fish oil is because it's anti-inflammatory, but our diet is very low in omega-3. And then with pitchers, I might throw in some curcumin or turmeric extract to help with inflammation. We'll do some tart cherry juice. With athletes with strength, we do creatine. So that's really, I mean, vitamin D, but there's going to be enough. I'm a big fan in Thorne Research. They do a great job in making, you know, vitamins. They have a very good NSF for sport line. I love Nordic Naturals when it comes to omega-3 and fish oil. So there's some brands that just do a phenomenal job of making high quality products. But most, I don't trust the supplement industry overall because it's a very loosely regulated industry and there's a lot of bad players too.
Absolutely. I'm going to get into it at the end about something about that. We're going to talk about anabolic steroids and all that. All right. Now you're an expert in this and you know what you're doing. You know, I'm a parent, I'm a coach. And it's interesting, very similar to developing players. You know, you have to develop them according to their individual body types and all that. Where do I start? Because, you know, like a big league guy, you know, he could get a doctor, he can do a blood test, he can check all this stuff out. How do I start to understand that individual and what he actually needs to help him nutrition wise? Is there a way to?
Yeah. And what I do with all my athletes, we do a nutrition assessment. A couple of things we're going to do. I'm going to learn about their medical background, what their goals are, a few questions about their diet. So I can learn a little bit about what they currently do. I want to see what their output looks like. I want to see what they do every day from an activity standpoint. So baseball practice, lifting schedule, you know, they might be playing, most high school kids are playing two sports. So some of these kids go from baseball to basketball or baseball to wrestling. Or football to baseball. So that, you know, I have them log their activity for an average week because that lets me know, all right, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they might be burning 4,000 calories. On Saturday, they might be burning 2,000 because it's a rest day. So we need to eat differently on those days. And that's why I have them also fill out a food log. I want to see what they eat for about two different days so I can look at their eating patterns. I get to look at what they eat, when they eat, how much they eat. And then when we have our consultation, I can say, okay, Peter, here's some problems I see. You know, you don't have breakfast or you go 7 hours without eating. Then you go to practice. We got to fill those gaps in with good calories. You know, and it makes me look like a magician, but it's really easy to fix these problems if the individual is invested. If they want to do this, then they're going to get great results. And I've seen the kids who you know, in the young athlete level, when COVID's, you know, back to normal and where everybody's in school full time, you got to bring food to school. That's really a simple way to, if you're not bringing food to school, you're not going to hit your calorie goal. It's going to be impossible. So, So we do a full assessment. I look at every form of movement based on what their goals are. And then we try to figure out, all right, here's your plan based on that.
I like that. I like that a lot. You know, and bring your food to school. Don't worry about your phone as much. Keep that in your locker or something.
Phone has no calories.
Yeah, exactly. They're on the phone way too much. Okay. Now the largest group, and I want you to address this because we were kind of talking about it, but I know there's not one thing that you should be taking during games. But the largest group that we have of kids playing baseball in the world are going to be the 12 and under. Just some recommendations and maybe some things for parents, you know, if they're going to give kids something, what to give them so they can kind of munch on during a game, you know, a banana, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just setting up that good foundation of eating at a regular schedule. It could be a banana. I mean, like I said before, there's really no magic food in this process. We got to figure out what that child likes. If that's a sandwich to have during a game, if that's peanut butter crackers, if that's a half a PB and jelly sandwich, if that's a nutrition bar, if that's some pretzels, if that's any type of, trail mix, then that's what works with them. That's what's easily digested for them. Some things might take a little longer, but again, like I said before, it might not be the most nutritious food, but if it's easy on the stomach, never try anything new, never try something you haven't eaten the day of a game because you just don't know how your body's going to react. There's a lot of sensitive stomachs these days. So we don't want some kid, you know, really cramping up or having some stomach issues if it's a really important game that day.
So for the coaches that have young kids, you know, they're coaching young kids, they shouldn't have a rule where, hey, you can't bring food in a dugout.
Absolutely not. I think that would make no sense. Right. You know, unless there's kids with certain severe allergies that they can't be around certain types of foods. But other than that, I mean, I don't see why they would limit or prevent them from giving kids food because it's providing them with fuel. And even that could be liquid type of fuel in regards to just, you know, some sort of sports drink where in between innings with a snack. Again, every kid's going to be, some are going to be hungry. Some are not going to be hungry depending on how they've eaten before it. And again, the 12 and under, we're still trying to help them understand why nutrition is important. Most of these kids don't even think about diet on why this is the missing link. It's not until they're about 16 or 17, and then they're like, okay, I got to really, you know, I got to change my weight. You know, I'm getting scouted by X, Y, and Z, but I'm a shortstop and I'm 6 foot and 145 pounds. That's a problem. You're not going to have that much power at 6 foot 145. You might, but you're going to have a lot more power at 6 foot 185 with more lean muscle mass. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on that individual.
Hey folks, just so you know, I mentioned the food in the dugout. I don't mean bring a grill and start grilling, you know, steaks in a dugout or anything. We just want you to have some food. You know, I'm going to give a bad impression. Italians, you know, like me, we might be bringing in pasta and, you know, all kinds of
meatballs and spaghetti in the dugout.
Matter of fact, when I was in Italy, we would play a game. And then after the ball game, we'd go to a restaurant and eat pasta and some other things, you know. And about 3 hours after that, we play another ball game, they obviously got a lot of carbs. What's fascinating about this is the next part, and that is the recovery aspect. How important nutrition does for your recovery. So if I'm a pitcher, I maybe feel better and recover a little bit quicker because we're doing all kinds of things to recover, running, you know, no more icing now, but it's running and doing some other things to kind of recover so we can pitch a little, you know, maybe a little sooner. So talk about what nutrition does and how it does help your recovery.
Yeah. I mean, you look at, you know, you want to try to feel as good as you do with game one, as you do, you know, or game 35 in high school, or game 60 in college, or game 162 in Major League Baseball, right? You know, if you can feel as good on that last game of the year as you did the first game, that's a sign that you've done the right things to help your body recover. You probably won't feel that good, but at least you can feel to where you have sustainable energy. Recovery is a critical piece of just muscle recovery, the body's recovery to athletic performance. Because if you're not recovering, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're not hydrating, if you're not eating the right foods, then the next day is going to feel, you're going to probably have more inflammation, more muscle soreness. Mm-hmm. That means less mobility, less range of motion, less strength and power. We see that. If you have extreme muscle soreness, you just have less power. That's just what the research tells us. So, you know, foods, that's why I say fruits and vegetables. That might help you have less inflammation. That's where omega-3 comes in. We've seen studies to show day 2 and 3 after a hard training session, you have less reported soreness. That led to more torque and more power in a power type test. So the recovery, you know, but sleep, you mentioned phones earlier. Kids today, all they want to do is stare at these things. And I get it. I mean, adults are guilty of it. We go out to eat and I'm like, wow, the whole family's on their phones. So and there's, you know, I talked to Dr. Meeta Singh. She's a sleep expert. And she said, really, the worst thing you can do is stare at a really bright screen or have a lot of bright lights in your face right before bed because it keeps your melatonin levels really low. Mm-hmm. You know, the best thing to do is turn the lights out, a cold room, take a hot shower, and that's going to help your body relax and raise your melatonin levels. You should never take melatonin. That's one of the worst things people can do is shove melatonin in their mouth to try to help their body go to sleep because it could disrupt the natural production of melatonin. Cherry juice would be better than melatonin when you look at how to raise melatonin naturally without, you know, taking it. So, yeah, I mean,
is fruit the only recovery? I mean, is that the major recovery process, nutritional aspect of it, fruit?
No, well, fruits and vegetables are for the inflammation. And I forgot to mention a couple other things. Great question. Protein and carbs are extremely important because, you know, you look at, all right, so we look at carbohydrates. If you drive a car, let's say if I drive from here to New Orleans to Chicago to see you, I'm going to have to fill up a couple of times, right? So my recovery is going to be gasoline. That's the carbs. So that's what the carbs do. In our bodies, in our liver, in our muscle, we store carbohydrate. So in order to use it, in order to have strength and power and acceleration, you have to get that from your liver and your muscle. Protein is for the muscle recovery. When you lift weights, when you play a sport and do 2 or 3 hours of activity, your muscles are broken down. Protein helps that repair and rebuild. And then we have the other side, the fruits and vegetables, are more the muscle soreness and the inflammation. So it's a multi-component system. It's not just like eat this food. It's more like after a meal or after a game, I'm like, make sure 50% of your plate's carbs, some sort of pasta, some sort of rice, potatoes, sweet potatoes, 25% of your plate protein, 25% of your plate vegetables. That's a pretty good way to look at it on how to structure your plate. Two fists carbs, one fist vegetables, a little bit bigger than the palm of your hand protein. That's going to be a good way just to gauge what that should look like.
Travis, if we're eating well and we're following that type of program from start to finish, we may mess around with some vitamins like you were talking about some vitamins. Do we really need supplements as far as, creatine or anything else like that? I mean, are we just kind of using those because we're not following the nutritional aspect of it?
Well, I mean, I will say this. I think most people should be using creatine. It's very safe. It's very effective. Anybody who says creatine safe, they have no clue on the evidence in science. We have 50,000 plus studies. Most of the studies on creatine don't even look at athletes. They look at clinical populations, people with muscular dystrophy, people with Lou Gehrig's disease, cancer, traumatic brain injury. But the problem with creatine, there's 7 different types being used in supplements today. And that's where supplement companies are trying to scam people. We did a podcast on our podcast with the Taylor Hooton Foundation called the All Me Podcast. I interviewed Dr. Rick Kreider, 25 years of studying creatine at Texas A&M. He's published so many papers on this. Creatine monohydrate is still the gold standard. And if we're going to use a monohydrate, we want to use what's called CreaPure. That's a German-based creatine. It's just the highest quality when it comes to being used by the body. There's a bunch of others being marketed, but they still have not outperformed. Now, we have to keep in mind, creatine is not just going to magically put weight on someone. If you're burning 4,000 calories a day and you're only eating 3,000, you're going to lose weight. Creatine is not going to help you gain weight because there's no calories in creatine. But when you're strength training 3 to 5 days a week or doing high intense activity combined with the right amount of calories, then a small dose of creatine, maybe one scoop right after a workout, that's it, 5 grams, no more, can be very beneficial. It can help with the muscles recover. It can help maybe add some lean mass, but it's not a magic pill. That's the thing. I see parents like, well, can my son take creatine? Yeah, but let's look at what he's eating first. If he's skipping breakfast and missing out on calories, you're wasting your money. There's no need to go buy a mass powder of protein either. It's like, let's teach him how to eat first. And then we can incorporate smoothies where we need those extra calories, maybe before bed, maybe after a workout. So there's no magic pill, nothing on the shelf that's legal that's going to help you do that. And those things that are not legal are not safe.
Is it in some ways the nutritional game? It kind of changes too as science gets better. It's always evolving.
Absolutely. I mean, we have so much, there's a lot of sports data and analytics, right? A lot of teams now are hiring sports scientists to look at every type of movement of an athlete. Well, every professional NFL team, I think every major league team now has a full-time or at least a part-time sports dietitian to help analyze their athletes' diets. Where we run into trouble, though, is some of these players have their own people. And in some cases, that's good. And in some cases, that's bad. Because I've gotten players that have trained with certain people that it's like their nutrition advice was like, don't do that. That's going to cause a positive doping test if you take this product. Yeah. Not saying that happens that often, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot invested in just looking at everything in an athlete today that, 30 years ago, we didn't have any of that stuff. We didn't have players in the clubhouse looking at the pitcher to look at, what the pitch count looks like or what's coming. They know almost now what's coming based on all the data analytics they have. It's crazy.
Yeah, and luckily I had good parents that taught me great eating habits. God bless them. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be eating. I'm not perfect at it, but again, I think I'm a lot better than most people in a lot of ways, and I watch everything I eat. And I brought the question up about evolution and changing because I want you to talk about two programs. One, I want you to talk about your program and the app Eat to Win, I believe, and also the Taylor Hooten Foundation podcast, because that's two ways to kind of continue your education if you're a player, coach, or parent. Because, you know, and in 50 minutes, we can only talk about certain things. But with what you guys are doing, why don't you expand on that? And then I want to finish it off also with the Taylor Hooten Foundation and how that started and why.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the Eat to Win app was something myself and a friend of mine, he's a high school athletic trainer. We wanted to develop an app for individuals, a nutrition app that didn't have you have to track everything. Athletes are not going to write down and track. There's apps that do a great job of that, but you don't have to do that to be successful, especially a 14 to 24 year old kid. They don't need to log every single thing. What we want them to do is we want them to take a picture and then we have people look at it and provide feedback. But what the Eat to Win app does, it provides you with a customized nutrition plan. You don't have to log at the end of the day and say, okay, well, did I eat enough or did I not eat too much or whatever that is. We take the guesswork out. We have breakfast options, lunch, dinner, snacks, smoothie recipes. You put in your goals and you have a customized plan there waiting for you. So, you know, we just launched a brand new version in both app stores. I mean, we completely remodeled it. We completely rebuilt it. It's awesome. We were doing a lot of testing with some big companies in some big high schools and universities. I won't name those just for those reasons, but
where do you go for that?
What's that?
Where do you go for that on the internet, on your website?
Oh yeah. If you go to mysportsd.com, but you just go to your app store and you type in Eat to Win, eat the number two in win, then you will see that app. So this is the only app that's free that provides customized nutrition plans. You don't have to pay the $10 a month. A lot of these places are trying to charge you to get.
Fantastic. And we will put folks, we're going to put that in the show notes. Now, something I know that you and Don have been working on a lot. And I want to talk about the Taylor Hooten Foundation, how it started, why it started, because this can help kids all over the world because there's a lot of bad things happening to young kids.
Yeah, Taylor Hooten Foundation started really in 2003 because Taylor was a 16-year-old high school baseball player. And he went to his coach for advice on what he needed to do to get better. His coach told him to gain weight. He basically said, yeah, I need you to get as big, as strong as possible. But he didn't give him any resources. So he went to his friends. Half his baseball team were using steroids. He decided to do that. He decided to, you know, embark on that journey and do it the wrong way. And unfortunately, 6 months later, Taylor had a lot of complications from using steroids and saw a lot of side effects. His parents tried to get him help, brought him to a psychologist, you know, around month six. And he had finally admitted, it took six meetings with the psychologist before he admitted what he was doing. But that psychologist gave him bad advice. It said, quit. I need you to quit right now. And, you know, when you're a young individual and you're injecting your body with testosterone, because your body's naturally producing a lot of this stuff. Well, when you start injecting it, your body's like, okay, it's coming from another source. I'm going to stop producing it, which it did. And then when you stop after 6 months, it doesn't just start producing it again. So what happens is cortisol, your stress hormone, goes up. And then eventually he went into a deep depression. And unfortunately, he took his own life. So the Taylor Hooten Foundation was formed by the Hooten family back in 2003. And then they combined with Major League Baseball because Commissioner Bud Selig stepped in and said, hey, you know, we got a steroid problem too. And we want to help you guys, you know, with your company and really make more people aware of how serious this problem is. And, you know, even 18 years later, you know, we're traveling the country. Not now. We're doing all virtual programs. Last year, I think we did close to 90 to 100 virtual education programs. But now we talk about the dangers of appearance and performance enhancing substances, high risk supplements. I do a program on sports nutrition and nutrition education. So, you know, we come into the classroom, university, conference, and we do a lot of education.
You know, if you think common sense wise, I mean, I'm just going on this. Proper nutrition affects the brain, affects the body, gives you the results of what you put in your body pretty much.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really is. We have a motto. It's part of our All Me, and I'll talk about the All Me podcast and All Me program, but it's train hard, eat right, and play fair. You know, you have those three things combined where you just put all the work and effort in, you know, and you do it the right way, you're going to get the right results. You might not have the body that some people are just genetically gifted to look a certain way, right? Our bodies are going to be our bodies. You and I can probably train as much as we want, and we're probably not going to look like somebody else who just, they might train once a week and they look like they've been training for hundreds of years, no matter what, because that's just the way their body's designed and their genetics. That doesn't happen for everybody, but in most cases, you do it the right way, you're going to get the results you want.
Tavis, this has been an important topic, a great topic. I know it's only been about 55 minutes, but let's finish it off with this, because there's so much with this. Is there something that you really wanted to discuss that we, you know, I didn't ask a question about for our audience in the U.S. and around the world? Any last minute thoughts there?
You know, Peter, that's a great question. You know, the main thing that I think it's important for people to understand is to have a lot of patience with your diet. This is one thing that we're so impatient with. You mentioned earlier, I heard you say something about, you know, trying to be perfect. You can't be perfect. And I'm reading a book called Finish by John Acuff. And it's all about finishing things that you start. It's, you know, I struggle with sometimes I start a project and my ADD brain goes, you know, or I might read a book and I'll get 50 pages in or 100 pages in a book, and I'm looking for the next book to start. So, but one thing I read in this book that he had related to diet was, you know, 92% of people fail on day two. And that's because they're not perfect. They try to be perfect. And with nutrition, you can't be perfect. There's no such thing. We're trying to, you know, there's a lot of people trying to sell you perfect things, products and whatever. But if you just go back to what you said earlier in this program, habits. What are the habits? I ask every client, if you can change one habit right now and do that for the next 30 to 60 days, what would that be? What's preventing you from reaching that outcome? Weight loss, weight gain. You know, it might be, I got to eat more vegetables and I got to eat less of this, or whatever that is. Just focus on that and take it. Don't chase the scale. Stop looking at the number, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, because you're never going to have success that way. We have to look at other outcomes and other performance measures to really recycle. But we have to have patience with this process. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Great way to end it. Let me tell you, one number I do like, the 85-15, because I'm going to make sure I eat that 15 all the time. Keep me motivated in some of that stuff that, like I said, tastes good, but it's really not great for you. So I'm going to stick with that a little bit. Tavis, this has been awesome. You know, I got to have you on quicker, because I think there's more to cover, and I can't thank you enough for being on today, man. That was great.
Peter, thanks so much. Anytime, I would love to come back to your show. So you just let me know and I will be there.
All right, folks. Tavis Piatoli. I love saying that name. Piatoli. Thank you to Tavis. And don't forget, we'll have everything on the show notes. Thanks for everybody joining us on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you to Brian Crock, our producer with the Lineup Media Group. Special thanks to everybody in the U.S. and around the world. Don't forget, just subscribe to all our social media, and please subscribe to the podcast, baseballoutsidethebox.com, YouTube, Peter Caliendo. That would really help and get the word out. Thanks, folks. Stay healthy. Stay safe. God bless you all, and we'll see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.